previously on the Hawk Talk podcast.
Imagine if we won. Bevo would be gone.
You might be right, actually. Bulldogs are just incredibly unreliable, aren't they?
They are.
Does that give us any sniff this week? Is that...
I can't see it happening, but...
But it'd be funny if it did.
Oh, it'd be so funny. It would be so funny.
Kel Shaddia, this could be a big moment. Opens up the angle. With an angel riding on his right shoulder, puts it through. Weddle turns and goes, eyes off the sticks. Sends it for home, sets sail for home. He's been outstanding today and puts one through the sticks. McDonald pummels it towards goal. And it's a major for Connor McDonald. Hell dear. This is good. It's straight. It's his second. Sets the lead. Comes around and kicks the goal. The Hawks win their second win of the year.
Yes, an undermanned Hawthorne shocked Bevo's Bulldogs at Marvel Stadium. From Sicily's heroics to Kel Shaddia's delightful debut, there were talking points aplenty as the Hawks produced one of the best wins of the Sam Mitchell era. We're back to bask in the win here on the Hawk Talk podcast. Thanks for joining us. My name is Nick Mason, and with me as always is a man who must be thrilled with that result.
I was shocked. Absolutely shocked. Weren't you?
I mean, I didn't head to Marvel Stadium expecting a win, put it that way.
No. And then for an undermanned backline and an undermanned forward line to do what they did to the Dogs, who are hoping to play finals.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I wish to highlight, is that they were unbackable favourites. No one tipped us.
No one, including us.
Well, they would have been right not to, correct? And that's why all of the heat... is on Bevo's boys, and including Bevo himself, mostly, this week. Because they really should have got the job done, and they did not. And that is, in part, due to the heart of the Hawthorn Football Club to get the result.
And it is funny. It is, because I said that in the opener.
It is very funny.
It definitely is funny, because they're still just talking about the Dogs. They haven't given us much credit, to be honest. They just said the Dogs didn't perform. But our backline was incredible against... Jamara Ugel-Hagan could have done better, I suppose. He's obviously without touch. But how he handled Norton with Scrimshaw, you know, incredible stuff.
Dino wrote in saying, our leaders stood up this game. Sicily, Moore, Impey was lights out. Gunners was prominent early. And I can't say enough about the dependability of both Scrimmer and Hardwick. Duke looks to have found himself again. And even Daisy chipped in down back in the final term. No questions, just yes.
Well, that's exactly what it felt like, didn't it? Even Finn McGuinness had a really good game. The whole team played really well. There were a couple of moments where I thought, oh, they're going to get close and then get done.
Mm. Any moment in particular that springs to mind that you might have had I'll tell you what, James Sicily had a tantrum on field. What about you on social media?
I nearly broke the phone. Honestly, look, Malcolm Blight has done it. Hasn't he? But he mistook the points for goals.
But look, it happens. It's all heat of the moment stuff. And that's true for Watson, and it was true for Sicily with his reaction.
But it's an absolutely brilliant reaction from Sicily.
Oh, well, it's warranted, is it not? In the heat of the moment, the game is on the line. If they deserve the win, and to feel it slip through your fingers as captain. Think about Sicily's day to that point. I've busted my ass, and you're going to kick it behind from about 5 metres out? Are you serious right now?
He's done his shoulder. He's done his ankle. He missed the handball. People were pretty critical of it.
Yeah, he did.
But, yeah, one shoulder's coming off.
Now, Sicily, full credit, has owned his reaction in the aftermath. But also, full credit to Nick Watson, who is another one of these guys who played his part. Because what he did next...
Yeah,
was
it's
sensational.
All about if something goes wrong or you make mistakes, it's all about what you do next. And he handled the next moment brilliantly.
Are you worried about his yips in general?
Yes, but he's not like a Jetta, is he?
Well, not yet.
Well, he missed, was it 33, 34 something, in a row? Something, ludicrous, something like, absolutely absurd.
As many as Luke Bruce kicked in a row, just about.
Look. If you just look at the scoring shots he's had, it's eventually going to click for the guy. He's still so young and so roar. And you can imagine that those early misses are not helping now.
No. And how quickly people forget that in the same game...
But in the same...
He almost kicks goal of the year.
Yeah.
But, he's so unlucky for that not to go through.
But in the same way, like, just kick it.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
He was even devastated after the song. Like,
he
could
see. Oh, yeah. If you go back and watch the song, listeners, you can see it in his face. He's not happy.
No.
He's very much rattled by it.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Because there's this reckoning of, like, that was so close to being on my shoulders, that.
Yeah. But we got away with it. Away with it. And he was integral. That moment where he tackles Liam Jones, having spoilt the marking contest. Yeah. And then I can't remember who it falls to, but it falls our way.
I think it eventually came to Moore, who then put us inside 50.
Just
one of his, I think it was eight inside 50s, mind you.
You know, with the stature he has, he shouldn't be able to do that.
No,
and
that's
just pure grit, which was what I thought for the whole day. It was grit in the contest.
Mm-hmm.
We're down 3 goals inside the first 3 minutes, and then we claw our way back. And still our accuracy wasn't any better than it has been all year.
Correct, yeah.
And we managed to win the game.
At the start of the game, 4 inside 50s for the Dogs for 3 goals.
Yep.
Everyone, including myself, was thinking, here we go. This is even worse than I thought it was going to be. But no, they reeled him back in.
And Tim English in that first few minutes looked fantastic.
Yep.
And then Meek comes back, matches him, kicks a goal himself.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say? He's a charismatic leader. He's there in the clinches with the others. I don't think he beat English on the day, but he certainly nullified him.
Yeah. No, he worked his way back into the contest, which is what you need. And English is one of the premier ruckmen in the league. I think it's a sensational effort. We're going to get to all of these guys one by one.
Very clever how he nullified English. I know English is having a rough year by his own standards with the new ruck rules. But now Reeves misses 2 or 3 weeks, and it's all down to Meek. He's clear sailing for him.
You're rushing ahead. We're going to get to each of these players. You had a question from Patrick, who I ran into at the game. He came and found me, actually. I was standing by myself, and all of a sudden I've got one of our listeners in front of me. I'm like, how did that happen?
In front of you?
I was like, how did that happen? Oh, yeah, I was posting on social media literally the entire time, including photos. So not a hard man to find, am I, at the footy? Patrick says, which one do we reckon was the better win, St Kilda last year or yesterday? Obviously, meaning the Dogs clash.
Oh, I think yesterday. When you've got a debutant like Deer, Kelcher Deer to do what he did.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And an emotional win.
Mm-hmm.
I know... Gunston was frustrating with his shots at goal.
Mm-hmm. 2 goals, 4, I think.
Yeah, but his celebration with Deer was magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of our forwards got a free kick and actually kicked the goal.
That was Meek, wasn't it?
No, that's Kelcher Deer again.
Oh,
in last quarter,
that's true.
Under pressure.
Yeah.
And that's what I really loved about the win, actually, that the number of players that stood up in one-on-ones and key moments and read the game better than their opponent.
Scrimshaw. Another guy that comes to mind for me. I think the Bulldogs win was better. St Kilda's, it had an epic, very theatrical finish, but the Bulldogs win was quite something. I mean, the stories heading into that game, the stories that played out throughout the game, a bit of a throwback to 2016, Tiz.
God, yeah.
I mean, he's done the Dogs again.
Mind you, that season ended a little bit better than this one, Will. I remember that. Like it was yesterday. That was an amazing goal there. Because he sort of announced himself that game, didn't he?
He did. I
was
remember.
Was that round 2 or something?
I think it was. I was heading back from Geelong. I was in my ex's car listening to that on the radio. So I've got a very specific memory of not being there, but carrying on like a lunatic on the way back in the car. Brilliant. 20 touches, 9 marks and a goal for James Sicily.
Yeah, and it wasn't just that. It was his presence of mind to go to Sam and involve Hardwick in a discussion about, look, I'm not going to be that effective behind the ball and I don't want to cost us the game.
Yes.
So would Hardwick be okay? I think Scrimmer and Frost are doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
And Frost was very good, wasn't he?
It was, yet again.
Yeah. Because we've got to call him out, because we've called him out in the past for so many bad things.
It has to be proportionate, is what you're saying.
And then they swap. Hardwick goes back, and then Sicily plays.
Yeah.
He's a natural forward, of course. But Yeah. Just even the strength to beat Bukukamas to take that mark.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was with his injured shoulder.
Potentially. I need to look back at it.
But bloody awful fall to do the shoulder in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, people were worried at the time whether it was going to be a season-ending injury, let alone a game-ending injury.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, anyway, we heard from Tyson. Sicily proved why he's captain material this week, battered, bruised, and still willing to bleed for the brown and gold, and doing what's required. You mentioned the three-quarter time move.
Yep.
I mean, that is just, how can I serve the team? If I go and try to be a hero here, it's going to hurt the team. So I just thought it was a perfect response.
It was an interesting term, wasn't it? You know, don't try to be a hero. You got to play within your limits.
Yeah.
For the team's best outcome.
What's troubleshooting? It's what can I do here?
Yeah.
What moves can we make to adjust for this? Because if we keep on trying to brute force how things are, it's not going
to
work.
That's what we used to be able to do with the experience we had in the side. And he's one of the most experienced heads out there, so he's got to be doing that. And I love to find out that he is.
Yeah. And after a week of scrutiny, some of which Sicily owned, he sort of put his hand up and said that he hasn't had the year he had hoped and he hasn't been performing. I thought it was just a brilliant response.
I mean, 6 touches in that last quarter for Sicily, who he's a walking wounded. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Do you think this is a watershed?
In
or
what
not?
Sense?
In the sense that we showed a lot of poise to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
We showed that we had faith in one another and the game plan to play that out.
Yeah.
And even when the emotional frustration of Watson missing happened, they didn't drop their heads.
Yeah.
Like young teams normally do.
Correct.
They also didn't, you know, apart from that first opening of the game, they didn't let multiple goals pile on.
Well,
it looks like one of those things we've really been waiting for, where they think about the result. I mean, they think about the process, and they get to the result without panicking.
Well, the first quarter, in a sense, is nothing new from Hawthorn. We've had bad first quarters all season. It's the rest that's new. It's the fighting back into the contest and prevailing. All of that's new. This is as close to a four-quarter effort as we've had all year. I mean, probably North is the prototype, but it's North. Yep. I'm not sure if you count it.
Yeah, it's they're looking worse every week. And
they actually are.
And that poor kid who came off after a blunder and no one went up to him.
Yeah, no one cared. No one supported him. Yeah. Chin up, you get the next one.
Buckley sort of pinpointed that and said that's not good enough
at an AFL level. That made me feel pretty good because I actually watched that in real time.
And you thought the same?
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I was like, no, why this
you
got to
have feeling for the
I don't know who this
people
kid
around
is.
You. Yeah.
I don't know who he is, but he looks about 12. Yep. I'm going to say this might be his first game. I don't know anything about North Melbourne's list. He comes off and no one says anything to him. I just thought that's...
You see, even though Sicily had that tantrum,
yeah,
he still told Watson to keep his head in the game, and those things happen.
Saul wonders, should we keep Sicily in the forward line? The back line played better without him.
Do you actually think that he plays this week?
I think it's touch and go. I'm not sure that he does.
Yeah.
And that worries me because, as you know, I'm headed down to Tassie hoping for a win.
Hey, mate, you've seen your win now. Last week, you're going, when am I going to see a win? And it's immediate.
Yeah, I've seen one live now. I've got my one. That's what you're saying. You're a brave man, Saul, to pose the question. Should we keep Sicily in the forward line? No. I am shocked, bewildered it came off as well as it did. I mean, the Bulldogs have all the firepower in the world to exploit that. Yeah. And yet, they did not.
I don't know what to say about the Bulldogs other than they were so desperate to win that I feel like they... Well, I don't want to put the dock in the box, but Liberatore, how he got hit by Amon, and now he's, you know, out indefinitely.
Yeah, it looks bad.
And how he was just ushered back onto the field.
Mm.
Oh, there should be some. But see, doesn't it feel, am I being weird about this? Or Sicily does his shoulder and an ankle, and he's the hero.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if they win or Liber kicks the winning goal, is the flip, do you just flip that script? Or
Well, I mean...
You see what I mean? The nature of the injury determines how much you admire the bloke?
Yeah, I get where you're coming from, but I think you have to put it back on the doctors to say that, you know, you expect as a fan they've done their due diligence, and Sicily is assessed as, well, he's fine, and we trust in what he says, and we trust in what we can determine from our expertise, and he's fine to go back out there. With Libba, I don't really
The times have really changed, haven't they? Because we're... Like, Hawthorn's famous for guys playing on with...
It's part of Hawthorn's lore, the mythology behind the club, the legend.
Dunstall wore a helmet for... and the nature of that injury is just horrific.
Dipper almost dies and everyone goes, what a hero! It's like, no, he should not have played out that game.
I wonder if those stories set the tone for Sicily, you know.
I mean...
I know guys play injured all the time.
Well, if we're talking about playing injured, what about playing dress-up, where years ago Sicily actually did a bit of cosplay for the club as Dermot Brereton. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
So he's got a bit of Dermy about him. He's actually playing the role.
Didn't he give a bit of the old
the swagger.
Strut? And
But, I mean, all of this defines... the club, it defines the player, and it might have done a lot of damage, to be honest. But I think that I delineate the Sicily and Libba things because Libba has this very, it's understood comp wide and in all circles of fandom, he has that history.
Yeah.
I would be extremely careful about putting him back on the field. So I don't equate the two, I suppose, is what I'm saying.
Now, what did you think about...
Hold on, you dodged the question.
Oh, what was the question?
You're playing Sicily forward again or what?
Oh, if he's injured, yeah.
That's it. If we've learned anything, that works. Also, I realise I dodged your question about whether this was a watershed moment. I mean, the cop-out answer is the one I'm going for. Time will tell.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like one, doesn't it? It was a very good win. I guess we'll see what they produce against the Saints.
Because the way Wirtle just took up the defensive role so well.
Yeah.
There's certain blokes in the team that perform under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you want.
We had a question from Aaron before we move off Sicily, by the way. Swingman Sis worked yesterday and he was enormous defensively, battling through the game and defying injuries to both ends of his body. He mentioned to the media last week he was trying to crack into the midfield at the moment. Tongue in cheek, or could he switch more often?
Well, we saw that against Richmond a couple of years ago.
We did, famously, yes.
But if you're playing Sicily in the midfield, that's just someone's getting an F.
It's true.
For their midfield play.
Yeah, what's happened for that lever to be pulled? It's a fantastic question.
Although, I've got to say, even in the last quarter, we had Josh Ward.
Mm.
What, at centre-half forward?
Yep. That happened. So that's not that unusual.
Oh, like come on.
We play midfielders there, exactly there.
I feel for Wardy because he's never in the role he wants.
No, it's true.
Wing, halfback, flank. Go to centre half forward. He'll be fine.
Have an impact there. He's like, okay,
What about Bonapelli's looking like he's going to rip the game away from us and we send Connor Nash to him?
Well, he's come in for a bit of stick, Connor. But what? I don't know if it's been deserved lately.
15 contested.
Yeah,
not a lot of meters gained, but you know.
But 15 contested, second only to Treloar and Bont.
Yeah, and I think he's definitely the highest pressure points on the ground. Yes, he is.
Well, there you
71,
go.
71. The next closest is 60 from Bontepelli himself.
So Sam Mitchell likes his work. He sung his praises in the presser. He did. So that should say it all.
Yeah, and he was very much, you know, underscoring how good Scrimshaw was.
Yes.
Even if he didn't have enough touches to please him. It was a lovely backhanded compliment, wasn't it?
Mm. Well, it's famously tis. That's what he responds to, you see. That's how that works. You won't get him there.
Don't want him drinking his bathwater.
Exactly
again.
Right, yeah. The man of the moment, Kalsha Deer. An unforgettable first AFL game. 8 disposals, 5 marks. Good marks at that. And 2 goals, 1.
Just his movement looks elite.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? How he reads the play when he leads. Even how he left space for Gunston and his fellow forwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's intelligent.
Extremely satisfying for us to have said last week, just play him.
Yeah.
And then he does play.
Yeah.
And then he does that.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I mean, we were...
Thanks, Cal.
We were quaking a little bit because Thursday went past. And obviously they had all that Bateman, which is a fantastic story and excellent.
Well, yeah, you have to give...
For him to be at the club. You need to give that air.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You have to give that its moment. And then on the Friday... Man, that brought me to tears. That really got me. Like, that was the perfect synthesis of everything to make a fan cry. That announcement, him and Gunston, with the piano underneath.
Well, I hadn't realised that their fathers had died so close together.
I'll admit, I did not know that either.
They've decided that they can bond with that. And a particular phrase that I enjoyed and took away from that, well, I think the last thing Gunston said was, even if I'm not here, right?
Yeah.
He still wants to continue the relationship after he retires. And yeah, that's what made me really feel for the passion they had in making each other, well, certainly Gunston has, for making the best of Colch's career.
And it was just so fitting. I mean, at the time, Gunston could have been off the ground. He could have been on the bench.
Yeah.
But it was Gunston who was right there on the spot. It goes through the big sticks. And all the photos you can see, it's Kalcher immediately turning to Gunston.
Yep.
And it's just a thing of beauty. What a debut. What a moment for this kid.
People talk about the family club and how we're bringing it back and that kind of stuff. That's all a bit glib, don't you think?
Elaborate, please.
Well, I don't know. He has done something extraordinary to be able to be that good in the AFL from what we were seeing from him about this time last year.
Yeah. Yep.
Even 2 years ago. He was nowhere on the radar. And he has just decided within himself that he's going to do this.
Well, I think last year when he was recruited, it was even seen back then by Hawthorn fans as maybe a bit of a Hail Mary.
Absolutely.
Good story, but could he make it? Don't know much about him. Haven't seen much. Fast forward to now. He's looking very likely.
Well, I remember that people were more keen on Harry Deer than Colcher. Mm. So, we should mention that Chance Bateman had a similar will to win.
Had a question from Finn. How do we manage Deer from here? He looks incredibly likely, but do we keep him in the side indefinitely or send him back to the Magoos to keep his confidence up from time to time? Following on from that, this question from Leo. Told to spend a week in the VFL. That was a question sent in, I think, on Monday, but we've since learned that he's going to be unavailable.
So did he hurt himself punching some bloke behind the ball?
I don't think that's how it happened.
Oh, okay.
You know what? I don't know. It's a wrist injury. Anyway, Leo's point is, are we moving Deer out of the side? Probably not.
Not this week. No, absolutely he gets another not. Game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the question is, how do you incorporate him next year? Because even if he is in and out of the side this year, probably next year he's
a main
fixture. We want to be getting as many games into him as we can.
Mm-hmm. So to Finn's point, do we send him back to the VFL? Well, not for the time being. He has to play against St Kilda. It'd make no sense to withdraw him for one, and also there is a necessity.
There's no one pushing him out.
No, Chole's now unavailable, as we just said. Lewis is still unavailable.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about Lewis, Nick.
Can we get What's to that going later?
On? The scans are fine.
Yeah, can we get to that a little bit later? Anyway, I want to talk about Connor McDonald. You like Connor, don't you? Lethal. 14 touches, 92.9% efficiency.
Does that include goals. The one that completely missed to start the day? And I thought, oh, come on, Connor.
Oh, mate, he made amends for Gather Round, didn't he?
He definitely did.
On the run, straight in front of goal. And I thought, I've seen this before. I was behind the goals. Don't do this to me again, Connor. And he didn't. And it was fantastic. It went straight through the sticks.
Very good goal.
It was
But
indeed.
He didn't take as many steps as he did in Adelaide.
Didn't have time to think about it. Did you notice also, I think it was that goal. Sicily was involved in that one as well. Yes. Don't think he gets a stat for it, but a little touch.
Yep.
Makes all the difference. Anyway, I thought Connor McDonald was awesome.
I mean, really. Sicily had 7 scoring involvements, mate.
Did he really?
Wow,
there you go.
He's an extraordinary player. And Newcomb's starting to hit his straps again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's looking like the Newcomb of old.
Yeah.
Which is quite something because he's not that old.
But I think we need to go with Impey too because he was absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah, the fan-voted MVP.
He came from nowhere because his form wasn't at all good last week.
27 touches at 92.6% efficiency. That's insane.
Don't give him the 93 there, Nick. Just
I'm being as precise as the AFL app wishes to be. That is not on me.
Yeah. Look, and we had... Oh, it's just a fun day, wasn't it?
It was, yep. I also want to highlight... I know we're going through the entire list here. It seems like Dylan Moore, 8 inside 50s, 9 score involvements, yep, including a goal himself. How about those numbers?
Mm.
Every time he puts us inside 50, we score. Or he's scoring. That is insane.
And he had the most touches in that final quarter.
Did he? Actually, that makes sense. Now I'm thinking back to it, yeah.
He's just got an extraordinary motor on him. Incredible.
We had some questions about Lloyd Meek. This is Sarah or Sarah, whichever one you like here. Just rewatching now the replay. How bloody good was Lloyd Meek? Theo says, when will Meek start getting media recognition for his performances and his status as our ruckman? And Matt asks, could Lloyd Meek win the best and fairest?
Didn't I put that in the season guide?
Did you?
I reckon I did.
But you would not be serious. Might have been edited
later, but I definitely went with it.
For your own protection, to help you out. Look, he would he be top 10? Not top 5.
He's not. Like, did you think he beat English on the weekend or not? Kicked 2.
At the very least, broke even.
Mm.
At the very least. He certainly wasn't beaten by English.
He had 7 scoring involvements, Mike. That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot.
And he's just great to have around the football because he's good in the air and below his knees and... And he was doing things to Tim English to nullify his hitouts. He'd obviously thought about how he was going to play English. Mm. And although English got him on the hop and in that first goal in the first minute.
Yeah, but the whole team, the Dogs did. It wasn't just English. So I don't know if he... I don't know if we can scrutinise that much because, it's what happened next that mattered.
What about Ginnivan's goal?
Yeah, well, it was against McRae, wasn't it? He just completely got off the leash.
Who?
Well, exactly. He's a bit...
What's going on with that?
Yeah, a bit out of favour at the Dogs, inexplicably. But, you know, maybe this is the reason why McRae's out of favour.
And they didn't pick that short ass that usually chops us up.
No. Daniel usually does very well.
Very, very handy, that selection error.
Yeah, Ginnivan's goal was... I mean, that's classic Jack, really. That's the goal that he kicks. It was very timely. It was very skillful. Exactly what you needed it to be. We had a question from Stu. How happy are we? And the club, I'm sure, would feel vindicated by delisting Bramble. Bit of a mean-spirited question I've included here. He's been
very good for the Dogs, actually.
He has, but Stu says he was almost our 24th player out there yesterday.
Well, it's interesting. I sort of felt for Duray as well.
Nick asks, can we talk about Blake Hardwick? Last week didn't have the best of games, but thought his game this time was really good. Played a fix-it role very well. Also thought Impey's game was immense. The amount of times he intercepted or cleaned up was so important to the win.
Yeah, wonderful response from Hardwick. I mean, every time we ask him to put, you know, the team ahead of himself, mm-hmm, he responds and does it.
Can we get his signature, please? Because he's holding out. It'd be nice to have him.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I would. Yeah, in his position, I would. Just because the media doesn't talk about it, I'm sure that other clubs have him on the radar as a very handy player.
Well, as we've cited on the podcast before, that's the only reason he goes forward, isn't it? So we're not without any experience other than Impey in the back line.
Yeah.
Seamus Mitchell was rested.
Mm-hmm.
So if we lose him, very difficult to replace. And Connor Nash, of course, stopped negotiations as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else that we have to worry about?
The word around the traps is they're confident that they're going to stay with Hawthorn.
I mean, we're confident about Buddy, mate.
Still smarting after last week.
No, not really.
Yep, not detecting any sour grapes there.
I mean,
you can't
listen to the scuttlebutt. If he's got a big offer at a club that's going to be playing finals or maybe a premiership, mm-hmm, Hardwick, you couldn't begrudge him, could you? He's given us so much great service.
So you want to talk about Weddle. I know you wanted to talk about Weddle.
That goal.
Mm.
And just the uproar that created.
Because
he just waltzed into the 50.
Was it outside of the boot?
Of the boot.
Yeah. So from where I was standing.
Made it harder than it needed to be.
I actually attended the footy by myself on this occasion. And still, out loud, I went, oh, no. Oh!
I think a lot of people did that.
The carry-on from me, without any company around, was something else. Mind you, I have to tell you a bit, because I flagged this, I have to tell you a bit about the Bulldog supporters that rocked up.
Yeah, you wouldn't shut up, and you wouldn't give me any details about these guys.
Okay, so the odd thing about that Twilight game was, in the area in which I was standing, there seemed to be just a revolving door of supporters. It's really odd, because when you go to the footy, okay, do you just decide on a place to watch it from and then you're there for the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. That's that's most people, isn't it?
Unless Dunstall's playing.
And then that's right. That's what you'd follow him from end to end. But that makes sense. There's a rationale behind it. I mean, the whole day.
What were they doing? Musical chairs or something?
I just had different people next to me the entire day. Just swanning in and out. A quarter here, a quarter. It just, okay, sure. Anyway, the people I had with me for the last quarter.
Yeah.
Some mother and a daughter, passionate Dogs fans, not the sharpest tools in the shed. At one stage, where it's getting really, really tight, I think it was when Connor McDonald kicked that goal we talked about before.
Yeah.
The ball's coming back to the centre, and they're talking about this goal, and they're looking at the screen, and the daughter's like, oh my God, did he just kick that again? And the mother's like, no, that's a replay of what just happened. That actually broke my brain a little bit, and still is.
Is that the first time you've heard that?
Okay, so the thing that's on the TV, this person thought was happening also in real time on the field, when it clearly was not. So, oh my God, it's happening again! It's like, no, look at the field. The ball's going back to the... It's a replay. I'm still bewildered by it. The other
also,
thing...
Also, it's a lot slower.
That's right. The other thing I need to mention about this pair, and it's a classic mother and daughter thing, where, you know, the kids emulate their parents. They just do. They take on characteristics and affectations and verbal quirks and so on and so forth. The only thing that this mother knew how to say in support of the Western Bulldogs was, come on! Come on! Come on! And then I had them both doing it. That's all they would say.
Better than that, like you have new, usually that just yells out, kick it.
Oh, yeah. Kick it! No, not there.
That's just wonderful to turn up and listen to that bloke.
Just kick it! It's like, no, that's not. There's a strategy. Come on. Anyway, I don't know where they got to in the end. They left at some point. Probably after Sicily's goal.
Did that really occupy you, did it?
It did, because it was taking
they
me out...
They must have been really loud.
They were. It was taking me out of the game, because it was so...
Obnoxious.
Obnoxious and one note. It was only, come on, come on! And it would escalate. So it got to the point where they were like just unintelligible screaming.
See, it's all right to do that in a prelim. Because I've been that person.
That would
definitely have.
That's different. You know it's different. That's the entire season's on the line and you have everything to play for. This is just Bulldogs Hawthorn at Marvel Stadium in May.
I mean, I'm not going to poke fun, but my tantrum when, you know, Nick missed was... Yeah.
I wish I could have seen
it. You could have had a lot of... You would have had a whole notepad of notes.
Anyway, I needed to share that with you. I've been holding on to that since the game, so...
So how do we rate, like, Sam Mitchell's performance here?
I mean, pretty good. What did you think he achieved tactically that was an absolute masterstroke?
Well, I thought he nullified all their best options in the forward line.
Yes, that's true. Norton and Ugelhagen were the two that I was probably the most worried about. Even with the midfield they've got, I thought, we've got nothing for those guys.
I thought he robbed them of the space they desired in the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I did enjoy, when you watch the replay, you'll notice that Bontempelli is on the bench for 7 of the last 12 minutes.
Is he? Wow.
In the game.
Yeah, and the ball was out the other side, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, you can't think that's a coincidence. That's got to be something.
Just the way he mustered belief in a team that had been absolutely pummeled the week before to get them back and scoring, and what he got out of Gunston and Deer.
Yeah.
And how he just trusted them to get it done. Oh, it's a there's a few big ticks for Sammy giving blokes roles and just trusting them to get them done. And under pressure, they did.
We had a question from Kim. To the Hawk doomsayers, we aren't that bad. Very, very close to 4 wins, 4 losses for the season. Pies, Bombers, losses probably should have been wins. Discuss.
Well, Kim, one of my favourite stats to see on the weekend was the ladder if expected scores actually resulted.
Yeah, yeah, if that told the story, yeah.
I think Essendon dropped 11 places to be below us on the ladder, which I am just salivating for them to make finals.
To crumble under the pressure.
And as Kim will know, that our expected scores often been, you know, we would have won the game.
Yeah.
And also we've been kicking poorly, but we could have been 4-4 and look, the way we're played sometimes, I don't think we deserve to be 4-4. But we're definitely better than North, and I can't tell whether we're better than a lot of others.
No, because we're yet to play the teams that are neighbours on the ladder.
And I still feel like if we had as many early picks as some of these other teams,
yeah,
we'd be a lot better.
Make no mistake also, this is a season crueled by injury, and it's not letting up. No. It's, you know, for the players that are now available coming into this week, we've got more players that are out. So it's just, you know, that one day in February, it seems to have really turned sour from there. And there's no relief from it. Every time we seem to take one step forward and we get a healthy list again, we lose someone. And it's awful luck. But we're going to get to that. A fantastic win for the AFL side. But the VFLW side and the VFL side, both struggled, unfortunately, against the Bulldogs' counterparts there. We'll start with the VFLW.
Two in a row, Nick. Two in a row.
I can forgive that.
After looking absolutely untouchable.
Yeah, I can forgive that, considering they won about 5 in a row and did it so easily. Yeah, the Bulldogs defeated Box Hill, second consecutive loss for Box Hill, 55-30. Inclusions from our AFLW side this week were Lucas Rodd, Deed, Butterworth and Elliott, but it wasn't enough to get the job done. 25 points the final margin. As I said, Ellie Blackburn was actually the difference, like quite literally 20 touches but kicked four goals, 25 points.
Wow.
Literally the margin right there. Everest missing didn't really help matters. No Hipwell as a tall target probably had an impact. No surprises that Tamara Luke was our best on ground. Always tries their heart out.
And now cut to the good news.
Jazz Fleming and Laura Elliott have just re-signed for 4 years each. I thought you were talking about our opponents, if I'm honest.
It's a long time.
4 years is a great deal for each of them. They're fantastic centrepieces of that AFLW side. But no, I thought you were referring to Box Hill coming up against the Southern Saints, who have lost their last 5 games. So if you want to get back on the winners list, now could be the time. But I did notice, I looked into it, not to be taken too lightly, the Southern Saints, because they haven't been absolutely smashed in all their games. They only lost by a point last week. So it'll be interesting to see how our VFLW side goes.
Now, it was a strange performance from the VFL side. They looked non-competitive for large portions of that game. And then they only, well, they were down by a goal with a couple of minutes to go and they lose by 13.
Yeah, Footscray's an odd one for Box Hill. Seems to be one of their bogey sides. In some recent games, they've very much had our number, making an otherwise awesome Box Hill Hawks outfit look, well, a bit crap, really, middle of the road. The second term threatened to see a repeat of that trend. It was a very frustrating first term, but then the Dogs slammed home 5 goals to our 1 in the second term to break the game open. But then, pleasingly, Box Hill showed a lot of heart and muscled their way back into the contest. As you say, they got within a goal late in the game. They came back from 38 points down, mate. That was the margin at one stage in the third term, but it wasn't enough. Footscray sealed the deal. 13 points, the final margin.
Callum Brown, that was an incredible game from him.
It was, yeah.
With the mid-season draft approaching, 2 goals, 35 touches.
Yeah, talk about putting your hand up.
Like he just led all day. Chad Wingard looked all right. He'll be back in a couple of weeks, you'd assume?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. He's proving himself. He's coming back into full fitness. Fantastic to see. Max Hall was among the best again, 31 touches for him. Sarong actually got MVP honours from the social media guy.
Wow.
Yep, 22 touches for him.
Kavara in his game back gets a goal. You know, it's very, very even effort. Henry Hustwaite was okay. O'Sullivan kicked a goal. Ethan Phillips overlooked yet again.
Yep, but amassed another 20 touches.
Yep, 15 marks if you don't mind.
So again, he's in the teens for marks. I wonder what's the hold up. I said this last week, and then Sicily does his shoulder. I'm like, are we happy now? Are we content to leave him in the VFL, or do we want to play him? We wish we had selected him this week.
That was a fascinating moment because you're like, oh, well, we'll just bring Watson on like for like. Anyway.
What is the hold up? Play him. I mean, look, if Sicily is unavailable this week, is now the time? Ethan Phillips for a debut in Tassie? I mean, I've seen people online saying, well, it's actually probably Sarong that's in the frame then, rather than Phillips. I can see the argument there, but yeah, interesting at selection this week. Anyway, with this loss, Box Hill slipped to fourth on the ladder. It's not too bad, but took a bit of a hit there. Next, we take on Sandringham out at Wonthaggi.
Yeah, we did that last year too.
Yeah, a bit of a deal there. So Sunday, 2:05 p.m. for Box Hill taking on Sandringham. Anyway, mate, we've been talking about it all episode here and there. We need to talk about the game in Tassie against the Saints. Hawthorn versus St Kilda at UTAS, Saturday, 1:45 p.m. To look at the ins and outs, we first need to consider the injury list.
And also, you'll be on the flight with the boys.
Is that right?
You're taking Virgin down.
I am taking Virgin down. Love that turn of phrase, but anyway.
Well, thank Richard Branson. you'll be able to tell us who's travelling.
I hope so, yeah. If I have any intel, obviously you'll see it on the social media. But as of now, the injury list that's been released by the club, CJ is available again, and hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah. So he didn't line up for Box Hill 2 weeks ago, is it now?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and he's pulled from the lineup.
Certainly needs a game. DGB is also available.
Yeah, he's got his toe in.
Oh, jeez. It must be a very frustrating injury to do a toe.
Absolutely. And you'd expect he comes back via Box Hill, but fantastic to see that he's available again. Luke Bruce is
also coming back via Box Hill, is he, Nick?
No, I'd assume that Bruce comes straight back into this side. Who we switch out, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Cooper Stevens.
Second week running. He's a test for his Achilles.
Yep.
Ned Reeves has a hand injury sustained in the final quarter for Box Hill. He'll be 1 to 2 weeks away now. Henry Hustwaite, unfortunately.
Cop the knock.
Yeah, concussion. Mitch Lewis is 1 to 2 weeks.
How is it sure 1 to 2 weeks?
I'm sure he is.
Come on.
Come on, Tiz. He's 1 to 2 weeks away. He'll be fine. He'll be back in a fortnight.
Why don't they just...
I'm sure.
Why don't they just put Grant Birchall back on the list?
Last week, I don't know if you remember this, last podcast, he was definitely TBC.
Yeah.
So he went from 1 to 2.
Oh, is this an improvement?
Well, I'm saying he went from 1 to 2 to TBC. Now he's back to 1 to 2. And I don't hold any confidence in that. I'm not buying it for 1 second.
So there's nothing wrong with the scans.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something wrong with the knee. That's what he's described.
Whatever the case is, he's about to miss well over a month.
Yeah.
I think all of this started to come to light April 2nd. Is that what we said last week? I seem to recall that.
Mm.
And now, you know, by the end of the weekend, I think that'll be, what, like May 12th or 13th?
Yeah, but if they're unclear on what's wrong with it.
Well, it's a deep concern, isn't it?
He might need other surgery. I don't know. Mabi Ochol, 1 to 2 weeks with his wrist. And then I love this. James Sicily, shoulder/ankle.
That's right. And he's a TBC, and fair enough. I imagine he doesn't play.
McKay with his back is still 5 to 7. James Blank, season. Butler, season. Yep. So the mid-season draft, we've got 2 spots.
Mm.
And, yeah, it'll be up between, if they're elevating anyone from Box Hill, it's between Kel Brown and Max Hall.
I would say that they're certainly in the frame, but I think if you ask most Hawthorn fans, they'd be wondering about key position stocks, but I'm just not sure. I'm thinking about Box Hill. I'm not really sure who you elevate from there, who fits that bill.
Mm.
From there, you're probably looking at other clubs, I think, and we'll do our due diligence in time. We'll look at the mid-season draft when we get closer to it and look at who's likely. But, yeah, I don't know. I think Hall and Brown would probably be in the frame for one of those 2 positions.
So Imre says, I like this because it's fighting words. And I feel like...
I think listeners know what's coming as well.
And I feel like we could have a back-to-back. What do you think?
Go on, continue the question.
Just dump both of the coaches that I hate most in the AFL. Imre says, it's a happy circumstance we're playing yet another empty pretender this week. The same formula should work. Apply pressure and they crack open like a fortune cookie.
Mm. And it ain't a good fortune for him either.
Yeah, I just wonder what the message is.
I just wonder what moves are going to make here. Bruce comes back into the side. Does Ward come out of the side? I mean, he's been played out of position, which is not necessarily his fault, but I'm not sure the impact is there at the moment.
He sacrifices a lot, Wardy, doesn't he?
I'm not sure if we make too many changes beyond that.
I mean, you win. He's usually really loyal, Sammy.
Well, the forward line sort of just is what it is for the time being. With no Chol and no Lewis to pick, Kelscher, who earned a game anyway, he stays in the side. Gunston's still there. You have to add Bruce somehow. But other than that, I'm not making any changes. This is assuming they don't play Phillips, mind you, which I'm still in favour of.
Well, the forward line was enjoyably unpredictable.
That was the key this week, was it?
Are they going to get Liam Henry back? He must be close.
Yeah, it seems like it. Yep.
And then they've got that Schoenmaker. Mm. Schoenmaker. He's just getting touches at will in the VFL.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
he come from Tassie as well?
I think he does.
Yeah, I seem to recall that.
But we all know how romantic
Ross is.
We can certainly get it done.
Oh, no question of that. I mean, we beat them last year. They beat us last year.
We're
going
to have the energy. I mean, I don't doubt we can do it. There's certainly an opportunity to get two in a row here.
Yeah, I'm faintly confident. I think it hinges on what happens with Sicily from here. Mm. And yeah, the selection table might swing it here. I'm interested to see what moves we pull.
Oh, you're going to have some fun, I reckon. What else is on the cards down in Tassie, mate?
Actually, I have no idea. I think it'll be dictated in part by the nephew. Don't think we'll be calling many of the shots in terms of where we go, what we do.
Well, you just pay a bit of kick to kick and then he'll be asleep, mate. So you'll be...
done and done. There you go. Bit of parenting 101 on the Hawk Talk podcast. Mate, let's get to the social media stuff. If you love what we do here at the Hawk Talk podcast, listeners, rating or reviewing our show would be a fine idea indeed. Whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, sharing how much you enjoy the show really makes a big difference to us. And also, it's just really nice for us to read. We've had a few people write some really kind things over the past week, Tiz.
Juliet Sierra 89, as good as the 2001 draft. Excellent podcast that has the balance right.
I'm just going to jump in because Juliet, what she wrote next was a bit of a clip for other Hawthorne podcasts, so I'm not going to be that mean-spirited to read that out.
Redacted.
Redacted. But thank you, Juliet. She adds good humour and editing, so thank you very much. It's very kind.
Oh, you got a tick for the editing. Yeah. Jeez, you're blushing, are you?
Oh, yeah. This is where we need video. Vote With My Feet left a review as well. Must listen therapy. Not many of my mates are Hawks fans, and this is the therapeutic conversation I need each week. Thank you, Vote With My Feet.
Sporty Fiona says, I'm a new listener to the podcast. I love the honest and complete assessment of everything happening in the world of Hawthorn. Both sharing the joys of winning and the pain of losing, I find myself waiting for the podcast to drop as a final processing of my emotion after each game. Especially at the moment when things aren't going so well for the Hawks. Nick and Tiz lift my mood.
Fantastic. That's exactly what we're here for, Fiona.
We lift our own moods too, don't we?
Exactly right. This is it. Vote With My Feet says it's therapeutic for them and for us. So there you go. Thank you for all of those lovely reviews. And as I say, we very much encourage you to jump on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you enjoy the show, please tell the world about it. Meanwhile, there's nothing better than getting online after a win, mate. With the Brown and Gold community buzzing, come and join us on our social media channels and join the conversation. We're on X, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram as well. And finally, we'd like to flag that we have some bonus content this week for our proud, passionate and paid up Patreon subscribers. It's going to be available to stream very shortly. If you want access to that and a whole archive of extra Hawk Talk podcast stuff, get on board. All the details are at patreon.com/hawktalkpod. For everyone who's already subscribed, we really appreciate you getting around us. Thank you for supporting the show.
So Mark doesn't have any questions, but now that everyone is in a good mood, he says, I should start my petition to bring back the white square on the back of the jumper.
So what's that, circa 2008?
Yes. 2000,
yeah. It made me wonder which has been your favourite Guernsey period. Do you have a favourite? It's not the Power Rangers one, is it? I like that one.
I like the, it's just the colours. I like the colours.
Yeah.
It doesn't really worry me what they...
A lot of people hate it. I'm a huge fan of the Power Rangers one.
It doesn't really worry me what they wear from week to week.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I can't tell who they are, but that doesn't happen with us.
No, that's true.
What did you think of the latest Indigenous Guernsey?
I think they've done an amazing job yet again.
Yeah.
I think it's been a long... There's one Indigenous Guernsey in particular. It might have been like 2016 or something. It was a white one.
Yeah.
I didn't think too much of that. That one didn't really grab me. But it feels like everyone since then has been fire. I love it. And I've got a few in my bedroom that's sort of just behind you there. And I think I'll end up getting this one as well.
I was a bit of a grinch about the Anzac Guernseys, I think. I don't think they need to do a new one each year, do they?
I think if they're going to, they have to be creative.
Do you know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah, well...
Just feels like a money grab.
Look, if they're good, I don't care.
Right.
I'm not sure this one was that good. And that was disappointing. So if you're going to do it, be creative, be innovative about it. And I think that's exactly what's happened with the Indigenous Guernsey. The trouble for me is which one to pick. We've got a home Guernsey and an away, and they're both sensational. So they're going to be worn for Sir Doug Nicholls rounds. That's round 10 against Port Adelaide and round 11, the game at Marvel Stadium against Brisbane, which, mate, we're Marvel specialists. Don't even worry about it. We'll get the job done.
Yes, I did get a message at the end of the game, make Marvel our home ground. Is that where we keep winning? Isn't it odd?
100% strike rate this year.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong. We were great this week, and I feel like heading into the Tassie clash against the Saints, we've got every reason to be optimistic here. Like, those were really good signs. I think selection is going to be a huge component of our chances to win here, but I don't know. I fly down to Tassie in good spirits. Should be a very interesting clash indeed. This has been the Hawk Talk Podcast. We'll be back next week to recap all the action, win, lose, or draw. I'm off to Tassie. See you soon, mate. We are a happy team at Hawthorn.